where he will lead me, I will go. For I have learned to trust him so, and I remember 'twas for me that he was slain on Calvary. Oh, he lead me, Jesus shall lead me nine and oh, he lead me, Jesus shall lead me all the way. He is the truth. To me, oh, I remember Calvary. Oh, I delight, oh, I delight in his command. Love to be led by his dear hand. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, his divine will is sweet to him. Oh, it's so precious. Hallowed by bloodstained. Oh, Calvary, Lord. Oh, he lead me, Jesus shall. Oh, night and day. Oh, he lead me, Jesus shall. To me, what a friend. Oh, I remember. Onward I go, onward I go. No doubt, no fear. Oh, happy with Christ, my Savior. Oh, he's leading, he's leading. Trusting that I someday I shall see him, Jesus my King. Oh, what a day, what a day. Calvary. Oh, Jesus shall lead me night and day. Jesus shall. Sins and griefs to bear, all our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to, oh, we are privileged tonight. Hallelujah. Oh, everything to God in, everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often find. pain we bear. Oh, because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. Have we trials and temptations tonight? Have we trials and temptations? Is the trouble anyway? Oh, take courage, brother, sister. We should never be discouraged. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Can we find a friend as faithful? Can we find a friend so faithful? Oh, will all our sorrows, who will all our sorrows share? Jesus knows our every weakness. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Are you weak tonight, brother, sister? Are you weak and heavy headed? Come, but with the Lord of God, precious Savior, He's always our refuge. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Oh, do thy friends, do they despise and forsake you? Take it to the Lord and you'll always find Him with His arms open. Hallelujah. In His arms He'll take and shield you. Thou will find a solace there. Amen. What a friend we have in Jesus. When everyone is sleeping, I can't sleep, or whoever can't sleep, He'll be there. He wants to talk always. Amen. Let's take it to the Lord in prayer. Let's sing that song. When I see the blood, I'll pass over you. Amen. And we have that same covenant today. He sees the blood and He says, wonderful. Amen. Some will be hiding in there, but when He sees the blood tonight, He'll pass. Amen. Christ our Redeemer died on the cross. Who paid all it? Oh, sprinkle your soul with the blood of the Lamb, and I will pass over you. For the blood, chiefest of sinners, Jesus will say, oh, He has promised that will He do, washing the fountain open for sin, and I will pass over you when I see the will pass over you. Judgment is coming, oh, will be there. Each one we see, just as you hide in that sin, 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 cleansing blood, and now I will pass over you. Compassion, oh, boundless love, oh, loving kindness, faithful and true, find peace and shelter.
Hope is sense. God bless you this evening. Let's open our Bibles. Luke chapter 23. We do welcome everybody to communion service. It's a blessing to speak about the Lord. The Bible says we should remember His death until He come. Luke 23. Let's read from 44 to 46. And it was about the sixth hour, and there was darkness over the earth until the ninth hour. And the sun was darkened, and the veil of the temple was rent in the midst. And when Jesus had cried with a loud voice, He said, Father, into thine hands I commend my spirit. And having said thus, He gave up the ghost. Let's also read John chapter 19. Let's read from 28 to 30. It's exactly the same thing, but just adds a little bit more. After this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the scripture might be fulfilled, He saith, I thirst. Now there was set a vessel full of vinegar, and they dipped a sponge with vinegar and put it upon hyssop and put it to His mouth. When Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, He said, It is finished. And He bowed His head and He gave up the ghost. Father, we thank You for Your word. Amen. Grant us grace upon this day. Amen. The mystery, Father, of Your word. The mystery of Your grace. The mystery of Your thoughts, Your purpose, Your plan. That You may fellowship deeper with You upon this evening, Lord. Amen. And that needs Your grace. It needs Your grace upon each and every one of us. Grant grace to the speaker. Grant grace to the hearers. Grant grace, Lord, that Father, as Lord, we'd commune with You, You would prepare us to come to Your table. That as we'd partake of the bread and the wine, how we long that it might be acceptable to You, Lord. Even as prayer has been prayed for them that aren't here tonight, would You dedicate them into Your hands, bless them and watch over Your people upon this night. And Father, as we enter now into communion with You, help us, Lord. Father, we want to come under the blood as we've been singing about. want to give all things into your hands. Father, be glorified, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You may be seated, saints. Let's take our thought from verse 30, John chapter 19. Those words, it is finished. It is finished. You know, there were seven sayings of Christ on the cross. There were seven things that he said. That was the sixth. The last thing that he said was, Father, into your hands I commend my spirit. So this was the second from the end, what he said. But if you go back into the original, if you look in Greek, it's not three words. In English, it's it is finished. In Greek, it's one word. It's just one word. But it's a very powerful word. They say it's the greatest word from the greatest man on the greatest day. Amen. Just one word. But inside of this one word, which we translate as it is finished, all eternity it'll take to manifest what that word actually means. Amen. And everything that's happening to us inside of our lives is the manifestation, the continued manifestation of that word when Jesus said it is finished. Amen. My, it's quite an amazing thing. Because if you consider, this word was used by many other people. People would use this word in different contexts, in different ways. But if we consider when it was said and who it was said by, this word, you understand when Jesus declared this word, it'll take all eternity for us to comprehend what it meant when he said, it is finished on the cross.
Amen.
And I believe that when we fully understand what that means, your body will change. Because when he said it is finished, he was including your salvation.
Amen.
He is including full redemption.
Hallelujah.
He is including your body change.
Amen.
Everything that you require is encompassed in that one word that he said on the cross.
Amen.
It is finished.
Amen.
So there's something about this word, it is finished.
Amen.
Now, the meaning of this word really means a goal which has been achieved. It means a result that has been attained. It doesn't just mean to complete a task, but it means to carry it out fully.
Amen.
To bring it to the finish or to bring it to perfection. So when you would say to somebody in Greek, that word, it's finished. It meant you've completed something fully.
Amen.
You know, you've been given a task, you've been assigned something, and you've completed that purpose.
Hallelujah.
It was commonly used, they say, if you read it in the Bible dictionary, in the ancient world, firstly for servants. And you'll understand that Jesus is Jehovah's servant.
Yes.
Behold my servant. You know, you'll find it in Isaiah. And they would use this word when reporting to their master. When they were assigned work. When the master would tell the servant, this is exactly what I want you to do. No, they would then be dismissed from the presence of the master and they wouldn't come back into his presence until they could come and say this word, it's finished. And what they were meaning when they came back in is to say, the task which you have given to me, I've completed.
Amen.
Exactly what you want, exactly what you desired, I have fulfilled.
Amen.
It was also used as an example of a father who sent his son out on a mission. And the son wasn't to return back until he had fulfilled exactly every one of the last acts that was determined in his mission. And when he came back from his mission and he had been successful, he just had to say one word to his father. He'd come and say, finished.
Yeah.
It's finished. And then his father now would give him the fullness of the blessing. So there's something about this word. And you find that Jesus, like I say, you know, the greatest man uttering this word, think of when he said it. Now think of all that Jesus had been through. There was a difference when he said this word. All the other sayings that he said before, he had just said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? That was a cry of anguish in the midst of the darkness when he was on the cross. He had cried out, I thirst. No, that was a cry. You can see there was sorrow, there was anguish in those things. There were other things that he said. But when he said this word, when he said it's finished, there was a different tone to what he said.
Amen.
He's now gone through it all.
Amen.
Now, all of the suffering and the bloody sweat, the anguish, the battle in Gethsemane, the whipping, the scourging, you know, all the things that he'd been through, and then to be crucified, to hang between the heavens and the earth, to be forsaken of heaven, to be forsaken of God, and to be forsaken of man, like the song says. All of the anguish and the pain, and then the spiritual suffering that he went through as an atonement for our sins, it had come to an end. And he knew that it had come to an end. So when he now says, it's finished, he says it in a different sort of a way. Because when he says it, we saw it in the book of Luke, it says he said it with a loud voice. This was something that he said. This was a cry of victory.
Amen.
This is when you've gone through the test, when you now are he, like Jesus, you're the great overcomer. You've overcome death. You've overcome the devil. You've overcome everything. Everything which could be thrown against him was thrown against him. And he's overcome everything. And now he's been given this mission, given this commission, given this task, that the salvation of all the world is upon him. The prophet said, imagine that responsibility that was upon him, that the eternal destination of every man rested on his shoulders. And he took it on his shoulders, and he took it to the cross. And then he paid the price. He completed the work. And then he said to his father, he said, it's finished.
Amen.
He said, it's finished. He says, it's completely and perfectly has been fulfilled.
Amen.
And then heaven said, amen.
Amen.
On the resurrection morning.
Amen.
Because if Jesus had have claimed and said, it's finished. And then he had stayed in the grave. Where would we be today?
Amen.
But when he said, it's finished, it's completely finished.
Amen.
And then heaven said amen on the resurrection morning and raised him from the dead. It's proof that it was completely finished.
Amen.
It's completely finished. Saints, there's nothing else that we can do to add to this, because this is perfection. When someone, considering, like I say, who he is, the greatest man, yeah, on the greatest day in eternity, when he died on the cross, he uttered this one word, to say it's completely finished. And heaven bore record now and raised him from the dead. Saints, it's finished. For you and I, it's finished. And as we come to the cup, as we come to the bread, these are tokens of, you know, what he went through, what he had to accomplish for us so that it can be finished. So there's nothing inside of our lives. Everything we need in this walk of redemption, everything we need to go from time to eternity, everything we need to overcome has already been overcome. Everything that we need as a provision in this life has been stored up, because Jesus said it's finished. And who would be a person who would try to add to that? If Jesus says something is finished, why do we try to add something to it? Would it make any sense for us to think we can add to that? When the perfect man says, in a perfect sense, it's finished, there's nothing that we can add to that. There's nothing at all that we can add. And this shows you grace, friends. This shows why Jonah, when he was down in the belly of the fish, he caught a revelation. He says, salvation is of the Lord. Salvation is of the Lord. Salvation is not of flesh and blood. It's not of you and I, what we can do, what we can add, how good that we can be. But salvation and redemption, it's of the Lord.
Amen.
It's completely of the Lord. This is the cry of the great conqueror. The prophet preaches the mighty conqueror. This was the final statement of the mighty conqueror. He had conquered. He had overcome. But saints, for a person to be able to say this word, it's finished. To be able to say, it's accomplished.
Amen.
To be able to say, what's been given to me to do has been completely done.
Amen.
This is going to take an overcomer.
Amen.
Because it's going to be so many things, as it was with him, that are going to try to hinder you from saying this same word.
Amen.
Because surely, just as much as Jesus, when he got to the end of his course, he finished it by saying it's finished.
That's right. Amen.
How much more you and I? We're called to do the same thing.
Amen.
Now, we're called to say the same thing. And just as much as all hell was against him, he had to suffer the contradiction of sinners. He had to suffer unto blood. He had to go through all the things that he went through. He had to overcome the opposition of hell. He had to go through that battle with spiritual power, spiritual darkness, spiritual forces. He had to overcome the greatest battle ever fought. He had to overcome himself in his will. Father, not my will, but thine be done. All of those things to come to that point where he could say it's finished.
Amen.
And then when he said it's finished, immediately he bows his head. And he says, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit.
Yes, sir. Amen.
Our friend, what a way to end a life.
Amen.
What a way to end a life. That you can write in the presence of God who searches all hearts. Right in the presence of divine justice. Yeah,
Amen.
The justice of God. You can look right into the face of God. That's what Jesus was doing. Looking, speaking right to his Father to say, it's finished.
Amen.
Everything that you asked me to do, I've done. It's complete. It's been accomplished. No one needs to add anything to this that has been done. The work has been finished. It's a serious thing. You know, I imagine when Abraham came down from the mount, that must have been a feeling of victory. Imagine the spiritual satisfaction and joy. Now, when he went to offer Isaac, and then, you know, the angel came down, and then there was the ram in the thicket and all that kind of stuff. You can imagine the spiritual satisfaction that Abraham felt coming down. After that great victory, that great spiritual something that had been accomplished, which even he, Abraham, didn't fully understand what had taken place. But there must have been such a blessing of heaven. There must have been such a sweetness inside of his soul. Because like Brother Max was saying the other day, God is a reward of them that diligently seek him.
Amen.
You know. And you can imagine Jesus at that point. When the full price had been paid and he knew it's been paid. I've paid the price. It's been accepted. Yeah. And there was a change in the spiritual dimension. There was a change. Something took place that he knew it's finished. Redemption has been paid for. The perfect atonement has been made. The blood has been shed. Everything which is required to be done has been done.
Amen.
You can imagine the satisfaction in his soul.
Amen.
And that's why there was a change in the tone of his voice. There was no more anguish. There was no more crying out. There was no more judgment taking place upon his soul. But now he enters into rest. And there's only two places in the Bible that you'll find this, like, divine satisfaction being expressed like this. The first one is on the sixth day when God makes man. And he says, it's good.
Amen.
And he rests.
Amen.
God looked at the works of his hands and it's like he's saying, it's finished. It's accomplished. It's good. And then God entered into his rest. And that's in the Old Testament. Now in the New Testament, we find the same kind of a thing. There's a different kind of work. It's the work of redemption, the work of salvation. And Jesus is surveying the work that he's done. And he says, it's good. It's finished. And he enters into his rest. And he commends his spirit into the hands of his Father. And he bows his head and he dies in peace. And then the earth is rent, the veil is rent, the rocks rent, the graves are opened. All of those that were under the blood of bulls and goats down in paradise, they weren't under a perfect sacrifice. No one could come with an offering of a bullock or an offering of a lamb or a ram or a turtle dove in the Old Testament and say it's finished. It wasn't finished. The blood of bulls and goats could only cover sin. It wasn't perfect. God could never look down and say it's good. And when those people died, their souls went down into paradise. They couldn't go into that dimension under the altar of God. But as soon as Jesus offered this one sacrifice, this one perfect sacrifice, when he shed his blood, he now said, it's finished.
Amen.
And it was finished. And now he's the mighty conqueror. He can go down now and take those souls that are in paradise. And he can rise up on high. He can lead captivity captive. He can take them now into the true paradise. beyond the curtain of time. Amen. Friend, that transaction on the cross, that work that was done, you and I will never fully understand it. Amen. And even for us to fully understand when he said it's finished, if we understood that, there'd be nothing which we'd fail to overcome. Amen. Because we're not called to overcome in ourselves. Amen. He has already overcome. Amen. He says, I have overcome the world. Amen. The Bible doesn't say we have to overcome the devil. It says we have to resist the devil. Because he's already been overcome. Amen. It says resist the devil and he'll flee from you. Amen. Because when Jesus said it's finished, it was finished. Amen. Satan's defeat was finished. Amen. Satan was completely overcome. All the powers of darkness, all the powers of deception, all the powers of deceit, everything that Satan could array against you and I, amen, it's finished. Amen. It's already finished. Amen. It's already finished. Amen. And the only battle we have to fight is the greatest battle ever fought. Amen. But it's finished. Amen. That if we could just accept that it's finished, there's nothing that we can add to that. It should be to insult Jesus. For him to look at his perfect work and say it's finished, and then we look and say, but can I have to do this, or I have to do that, or I have to do another for salvation. There's nothing that we can add for salvation. Absolutely not. Otherwise, we're contradicting the greatest man uttering the greatest word on the greatest day when he said that it's finished. Now, where it really becomes a challenge to me is when you think about comparing Jesus with us. Because how many things can we honestly say we properly have finished? How many things? We've started so many things in our lives. We've started so many things as believers. We get sidetracked. We start something else. The devil pushes off course. Every single one of us. Now you compare with him. He could look at his work. Right from when he was born. Right from Bethlehem. Right to Golgotha. Everything he did, he finished. Amen. There's nothing that Jesus didn't finish. Amen. Everything he did completely. Amen. That's why the testimony would come. This is my beloved son, in whom I'm well pleased. Jesus lived a hear ye him life.
Thank you, Lord.
Right through his life.
Amen.
There was nothing that he did. From when he was young, right from when he was born, he was the Lamb of God born to take away the sins of the world. Right from when he's 13 years old, he's young and he's in the temple now. I must be about my father's business. All those hidden years. But when Jehovah would look down and summarize his life, he'd say, it's good. It's complete. Everything I've committed to him, he's done it perfectly. Despite the cost, despite the suffering of the shame, despite it's going to cost him his last breath. It's going to cost him his last drop of blood. It's going to cost him everything to be able to say it's finished. But Jesus showed the way. His life was a complete, continual burnt offering. That's what Jesus was. His life was a continual burnt offering. It was a pleasing savor before the Lord. There was never anything that he did that Jehovah could look down and say, it's not good. But then you compare it with us. And then you start to understand why. It's God's grace when he made the law of kinsman redemption. That's why the seals, the prophet starts with kinsman redeemer. It's grace. Because if it's up to us, we're never going to do anything completely.
Yes,
do you think we as mortal beings, Paul said, when I would do good, evil is ever present with me. He says, woe unto me, wretched man that I am. Yeah, because I in my heart, I desire to do the will of God, but the outward man continually hinders me. And the powers of darkness, the powers of deception, all these other things that come. Sometimes we get discouraged and we lay it down. Sometimes we get too tired. We say, I can't do it anymore. But friends, consider him.
Amen.
Could anyone have been more tired than he was? Could anyone have endured the way that Jesus had to endure? But he endured it all.
Amen.
It doesn't matter what people said about him. Doesn't matter what people thought about him. Doesn't matter what people did to him. That didn't have any effect on him. It affected him outwardly, but he had one desire. He wanted to get to the end of the course and say, it's finished. What you've given to me to do, I've completed it. I've accomplished it. And he wanted heaven to bear record and say, amen, with the power of the resurrection, to raise him up on the resurrection morning. That was his all-encompassing purpose, was to do the will of my Father. I must do the works of my Father. While it is yet day, because night cometh when no man can work. But friends, when you and I compare, this so challenged me when I was thinking of it today. I said, but Lord, you know, how many times we start things, you know? And this really shows why God accepts your will for the deed. And when God sees a desire in your heart, he understands that we are born in sin, shaped in iniquity. Amen. That there's no way. The Bible says we don't even know how to pray as we ought. Hallelujah. The only way our prayer can be accepted is you've got to take the intercession of Christ as a sweet fragrance, mix it with our prayer, then it becomes acceptable before the throne. The only way we become acceptable before the Lord is in Christ. Amen. When he sees red through red, he sees us as white. Amen. But as to ourselves, there's nothing we do perfectly.
Right.
Take the greatest of men. Take Moses. What happened to Moses? He didn't even see the promised land.
Amen.
He starts the Exodus, takes him through the Red Sea, takes him to the wilderness, and then he messes it up in the end. And then you find out the man is... You're not going to see the promised land. Go up to Mount Nebo. What about the prophet in South Africa? He listens to the ministerial association. It never came to what it could have been. You think of it, saints. Anything which we as mortal beings do, we can never truly say like Jesus said, it's finished. In the things of God, we can never. We can never go before the Lord and say, Lord, I've done exactly what you've told me to do. Every time there's a blot and a blemish. That's why the Lord said in the Old Testament, he says, when you make an altar, make sure those stones, man's had nothing to do with them. Let not anyone have shaped them. Let nothing of man be represented in those stones upon the altar. Just take them the way they are. Our friends. And that's why you'll understand now why condemnation by representation is such a powerful principle. That in Adam all men can die, and the second Adam all men can live.
Amen.
God made a system that one man can represent everybody else.
Amen.
And so God sends the perfect one.
Amen.
And he says it's finished, and God, we receive the benefits from that.
Amen.
That's why it's grace. That's why we sing that song, Do You Know Grace?
Amen.
Amazing grace.
Amen.
If you think of where you were, and think of where you are, and think of how many times you let him down. And think of how your offering has been blemished many times. But his grace, his blood, his goodness, his quickening power comes into your offering. He makes it into something that's acceptable before the Lord. Our friends, you'll see that there's nothing that we can do that's perfect. Because we're born in sin, we shape in iniquity, come into this world speaking lies. There's nothing that we can do perfect. But in Christ, we're perfect. We are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. When we are in Christ, God looks at us as righteous as he is righteous. We are accepted in the beloved, the Bible says. We have one, a perfect one who hung between the heavens and the earth. Our kinsman redeemer. God said if the rest of them can't do it, they can't pay the price. They can't redeem themselves. They can't pay. No, they can't get themselves out of the condition that they are. They've disqualified themselves. It's okay. I've made a law. If there's one of them, just one, who's related to them and is willing and is able, he can pay the price. So one man can redeem the rest. So the righteousness of one man can be imputed upon the rest. And that's why Jesus on the cross, he knew now it's finished. Every one of the elect is now saved. Every one of the elect now is going to inherit glory. Every single one. And he knew it. And imagine the satisfaction in his soul as he looked back at what he had to go through. especially in the 3.5 years of his ministry. And then coming up to his temptation, his passion, the great conflict, his death on the cross as an atonement for us. Oh, friends, if there's anything that could stir us up to want to do something for the Lord, is to realize what he's done for us. There's no greater motivational factor to a believer than to consider what he did for you. You can't scare people into serving the Lord. You can't scare people or promise them this and that. The only true motivation to a believer is you catch a revelation of what he did for you.
Amen.
You catch a revelation of what grace is. And you're going to want to do something for him.
Amen.
You're going to want to do it for him.
Amen.
So you and I sense we really do. We fall short. All of us fall short. But God's grace covers the rest. When we come and we want him to offer, he looks inside of our heart, he looks inside of our soul, and he sees the will that we have. He sees the desire that we have to give him something that's perfect, to give him something that's pleasing, to give him something that's right, even when it's defiled by our humanity in the actual offering of it, because of it is finished. He can look down at our offering and he can accept it as if it was a perfect offering. And even when the will was there, but we couldn't quite perform it according to the will, we receive a full reward.
Amen.
Why? Because of the kinsman redeemer. Because God made a way that one man could represent the rest.
Amen.
And then God sent that one ahead of us all. He made the captain of our salvation perfect through suffering, the Bible says.
Amen.
And he's the one who opened the way. He is the one who conquered. He is the one who paid the price. He is the one who overcame. He is the great overcomer.
Amen.
And we just enter into the battlefield behind him.
Amen.
And we are now taking the spoils of battle. Not because of our works, but because of his.
Amen.
Not because of our righteousness, but because of his. Not because we deserve it, but because he deserves it. Because he led captivity captive.
Amen.
And gave gifts unto men. And we're receiving the blessings of the great work that he's done. So as we come to communion, friends, let's really consider that.
Amen.
Because some of us were Catholics before. And we still have that kind of an idea that we've got to do something. We've got to find some way to atone for our own sin. We've got to find some way to redeem ourselves. There's nothing that you can do.
Amen.
You can't insult God by trying to add anything to a finished work. When something is perfect, when something is finished, when God testifies of it himself, friends, don't try to add to that.
Amen.
Just reap the benefits. And just appreciate what it is that he's done for us. Considering what it cost Jesus. It cost him his body, his soul, his spirit. It cost him everything. He went into it with everything. For him to finish his course, for him to complete and come to that stage to say it is finished, imagine what it cost him. It cost him everything. It cost him everything. He was forsaken of man, forsaken of his disciples. He was so evilly treated, evilly spoken of. He was misunderstood. He was opposed on every hand. And what about in the spiritual realm? He was continually oppressed and attacked. But he was the great overcomer. And there was one desire that was burning in his bosom. That he would come to the end and be able to look straight up into heaven and say, it's finished.
Hallelujah.
It's finished. The work that you gave me, Father, it's finished. Everything what you told me to do, everything that's on the list, everything within my commission, it's finished. And heaven would look down and say, amen. It's finished. Oh, friends.
Hallelujah.
That's why the prophet says, they ask him the question, will babies go in the rapture? He says, anybody's predestinated goes in the rapture.
Hallelujah.
It's not because of your works. It's not because of your righteousness. It's because of it's finished. And if you and I catch the revelation of it's finished, it's going to reflect in our lives.
Amen.
Because it's going to be something that burns inside of our bosom, the way that it burnt inside of his bosom, is we want to finish our course as well.
Hallelujah.
We want to come to the end and be able to say, as inferior it is compared to his, but we want to be able to say, Father, it's finished.
Amen.
Because Paul could say it.
Right.
Paul came to the end of his course and he could say, I finished my course.
Hallelujah.
I've run the race. Henceforth, there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness. And not only for me, but also for all them that love his appearing. Yeah, he had his mistakes, he had his faults and his failings, but there was something burning inside of the bosom of Paul. That he wanted to accomplish this one thing. He wanted to finish his course. And he finished his course. Oh, friends, it's quite a thing. So who did Jesus say this to? Who was Jesus speaking to on the cross? Obviously, firstly, he was speaking to his Father. Because he says, it's finished. And then he says, Father, into my hands, your hands I commend my spirit. So that's obviously first. But he's not only saying it there. There were seven sayings on the cross. There were seven different things that he said. Yeah, if you go and read in your Bible, in the Gospels. The very first thing that he said was, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they do. So that was aimed at those soldiers. So he was speaking now to those Romans. Father, forgive them. And to the others that had been blinded and put him on the cross. Then he said, woman, behold your son.
Hallelujah.
Son, John, behold your mother. That was to Mary. So there was one that he directed to her. Then he said to the thief, today you'll be with me in paradise.
Amen.
So he said that to the thief on his right hand. Then there were things that he said to his father. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? We know who he said that to. Then he said, I thirst. That was to fulfill the scripture, it says. We know that. And then the last one he says is, into your hands I commend my spirit. So that's six out of the seven things that he says. And it seems, if you think of Jesus on the cross, you know, the song says, when he was on the cross, I was on his mind.
Amen.
Now he is a greater than Aaron. He is the one that's wearing the true blessed breastplate. He's got his people on his heart. So surely there's got to be something on the cross that he's going to say to you and I.
Amen.
And this is the one. He says, it's finished. This is the one that he's saying to his church. This is Christ saying on the cross, which he aims at his church. He says to you and I, he says, it's finished.
Amen.
Our friends, and the sooner we realize that,
amen,
the greater deliverance we'll have.
Amen.
The greater overcomers that we'll be.
That's right.
Is when we realize that that one, he said it for us.
Amen.
He said, because what was in his bosom, what was on his heart, was his bride. That was the purpose that he was hanging on the tree, was because you were in his heart. You were in his mind. And what does he say? He says it's finished. Because that's his heart's work. That's what he's saying now for his beloved. That's why Jesus is the greater than Boaz. I remember once we spoke about a greater than Boaz is here. Yeah, Boaz was willing to pay the price. And remember when Ruth came back and told Naomi and said, you know, this and this has happened on the threshing floor. Then what did she say? She said, rest. To Ruth, yeah?
Amen.
She says, because, I don't know, can't remember the exact words, but she says, this man will not be at rest until he's completed this work today.
Amen.
And that's why Jesus wouldn't be at rest until he could say, it's finished.
Amen.
Then he said, Father, into your hands I commend my spirit.
Amen.
Ah, friends, that's what it was. That's a greater than Boaz. Think of the price that he paid for a greater than Ruth. Because a greater than Ruth is here.
Hallelujah.
Jesus said, in the volume of the book, it's written of me. I delight to do thy will, O Lord. Ah, friends, it really tested on all that had been spoken in the Old Testament. All the shadows and the types, right from Abel's lamb. Right from Adam and Eve, the skins they were clothed with. Right the way through Abraham's lamb. God will provide himself a lamb for a sacrifice. Right the way through Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd. Psalm 22, the psalm of the cross. They pierced my hands and my feet, my bones, they stare at me. I'm compassed about by the company of the wicked. I'm compassed about by bulls of Bashan. I thirst, my mouth is dried up as a potsherd, my heart melteth in me like wax. That's Psalm 22. All of the shadows, the types, the temple, the altars, the priesthood, every sacrifice that had been offered, all of the shadows and types and all of the prophecies up to that time, every single one of them, Jesus was saying, it's been accomplished.
Amen.
Every one of those things was accomplished at that moment. Had been accomplished in him. Friends, that was a great work that he did.
Amen.
That was a great, perfect, all-encompassing work which had been committed into his hands, and he had finished it. Now, he paid the full price. We know that. We know exactly who that he was. Remember the brother saying it, that when you would come to the temple and you would bring your lamb, the priest wouldn't look at your lamb. Wouldn't look at you, he'd look at your lamb.
Amen.
And that's exactly what's happening at this time. He's saying it's finished. And from then on, Jehovah's not looking at your faults. He's not looking at your failings. He's not looking at your blemishes and your shortcomings. His eye is upon the lamb.
Amen.
And this lamb has said it's finished. And you know, when they used to take the lambs to the temple and the priests used to look at them, if that lamb was without blemish, the priest would utter the same word, it's finished. It's complete. It's accomplished. This is your salvation.
Amen.
He could look and say, this lamb's spotless. This lamb is the perfect atonement for what you need.
Amen.
And the priest would say, it's finished.
Hallelujah.
And friends, it really, really was finished.
Amen.
Jesus lived the masterpiece life. He was the real masterpiece.
That's right.
Every step of the way, his life was a masterpiece. And that's why at the end of it all, when Jehovah stepped back and he saw standing before him that perfect image, having fulfilled the perfect work, what did he do? He smote him, just like Michelangelo when he smote that statue of Moses. Because what was standing before him was the perfect representation of what he had inside of his heart, what had been burning inside of his soul, what he had been wanting to express. And Jehovah looked down, he had wanted this to be expressed in Joseph, but Joseph had his blemish. He wanted to be expressed in Moses, but Moses had his temper. He wanted it in Samson, but Samson, he fell with Delilah. He wanted it with David, and David, it was with Uriah and with Bathsheba. Every one of them fell. But now came the masterpiece. Here came one who lived a masterpiece life. That all that he did was a masterpiece. And when he came to the end and he said, it's finished. Our friends, it was finished.
Amen.
Jehovah had looked at his masterpiece and had smitten him. And had said, speak. Because he was so inspired by the image that he saw. That's what took place on the cross. Our friends, what kind of a life? And you and I think, outside of him, we can do that? You can't. But we're bone of his bone. Flesh of his flesh, word of his word. Brother George's song on the when, that's why I call him Lord. Yeah, you were taken from his side when our Lord bled and died. All the earth shook. Yeah, and hell's pillars, whatever the song says. But you were taken from his side, and now we are the matching piece to the masterpiece.
Amen.
We are now bone of his bone, flesh of his flesh. We are now word of his word inside of your soul. There's something that can accomplish something.
Amen.
There's something inside of there that can accomplish something that Jehovah is going to look down at and say, this is good. But in order for us to be able to fulfill that, we've got to endure. We've got to overcome. We've got to go through a lot of things like he overcome. And that's why the voice could say, this is my beloved son. Hear him. Now, as we bring it down to ourselves now, if Jesus completely on the cross finished the work for us, and I'm sure we'll all agree it's a perfect work. Because he does all things well, the Bible says. How much more will he complete the work in us? Surely.
Amen.
It's the same thing.
Amen.
He's done a perfect work for us.
Amen.
Now, how can we think he's not going to finish the work he started in us?
Amen.
Never.
Amen.
The Bible says, he who began a good work in you.
Amen.
will be faithful to complete it.
Amen.
My, that should give you and I confidence. I never started this work in me. You weren't looking for God. You weren't seeking to worship Him this way. You were living your own life. No man ever seeks God. It's God who seeks man. That the purpose of God according to election might stand. The sovereignty of God. But friends, if you consider that everything He does, everything He did from Bethlehem to Golgotha was perfect, He hasn't finished working. That's why the song says, He's still working on me. To make me what I ought to be. It took Him just a week to make the moon and the stars. Yeah. Jupiter and Mars. How lovely and patient He must be. Because He's still working on me. But friends, if we have confidence to believe that it was a perfect work that He did on the cross, the perfect work that He's done for us, the same one's working in you. And He does a perfect work. He's never going to be perfected in the flesh. You never are. We're not speaking about that. But that work that He's working in you, that work, that something that is developing inside of you, it's going to come to the stage that you're going to be able to say, it's finished.
Amen.
And then your body's going to change.
Right.
You're going to receive a body that matches that work that He's done inside
Amen.
Of you. He's already prepared a perfect body for you.
Amen.
There's a perfect tabernacle waiting in the heavens. And if you and I look at that one, now we can look in the mirror and we can say, it's not perfect. But that one's perfect. And the work that He's doing in you is a perfect work.
Amen.
And He who began it has never failed.
Amen.
He cannot fail.
Amen.
He who has begun the good work in you shall be faithful to complete it.
Amen.
Ah, friends. It's grace.
Amen.
It's not your goodness. It's
Amen.
Not your intentions. Like I said, you know, Jonah thought he could do his own thing. You can't do your own thing. You can't live your own life.
Amen.
You're not predestined unto those things. He set His heart upon you.
Amen.
He has a purpose to be fulfilled in you. And that's why He started the work inside of you. And He knows how to develop that work. He knows how to bring that work to a perfection.
Amen.
He knows how to bring that work to the place that He can look down and say, this is My beloved Son.
Amen.
This is My beloved daughter in whom I'm well pleased. Hear ye Him.
Amen.
Oh, friends, He knows how to do it. He never leaves anything halfway. He never did a halfway work on Calvary. It was a perfect work. It was a complete work. It was a work that He could say, it's complete, it's finished, it's accomplished. Everything that needed to be done has been done to the full specification. So how much more when He's working in you? Do you think He's going to call you and then lose you? The prophet says, God is not a poor businessman. God is not an Indian giver. He doesn't give you eternal life here and then He loses you down the way there. It doesn't work like that. God doesn't work like that. But that work that He's begun in you, He will be faithful. He's watching over that work. That's the most important task He has at this time, is that work that He's doing inside of you. Just as much as when He came as a man, the most important work that He had was to pay the price for you, to pay the price for me. Now, what is His heart set upon? He's still working.
That's right.
He's now ascended on high. He's at the right hand of the Majesty. All power, all authority in heaven and earth has been given unto Him. He has everything at His disposal, everything under His control. All things are going to work together for good. Because we are predestined to be conformed to the
Amen.
Image of His dear Son. We're predestined to it, friends. Our friends, He's the potter.
Amen.
And we are the clay.
Amen.
And He's a potter who does a perfect work.
Hallelujah.
He's a potter who knows what He's doing.
Amen.
Now sometimes you and I will look and say, but why? Like that song, I like it. I don't know who sings it, but it says, I think it's the Dunaways. That says, the potter knows the clay.
Amen.
How much pressure
Amen.
It can take.
Amen.
How many times around the wheel until there's submission to His will.
Amen.
The potter knows the clay. But sometimes we'll look and say, Father, in the song it says, we'll say, Father, isn't it about time? But he knows just how many revolutions that it needs on the wheel. At least got things into the image that he wants. Because he's making vessels of honor. Set aside unto the master's use. He's making intricate, precious work. His own work to be placed on his own table. To be used for his own service. That's what he's working inside of you and me. My. He says he'll never leave you. And that's a perfect work.
Amen.
And he says he won't leave the work undone. He won't leave it halfway. He doesn't paint half a masterpiece and then leave it incomplete. No, no. He doesn't do that. No, Jesus says the kingdom of God is like a man, yeah? And he goes to warfare. Remember he says, who by when going to warfare doesn't first count the cost? Otherwise, maybe he gets himself or he goes to build something and he builds it halfway and then finds out that he can't complete the work. And then it's embarrassing and people will speak against the man. God doesn't fall in that category. That's the realm of mortality that we're speaking about. We start things we can't finish. We bite off more than we can chew. We get involved in things and then put our priorities somewhere else. But he doesn't. Because when he sets his heart upon something, it's going to be a perfect work.
Amen.
And he's making a perfect city. Yeah? Whose builder and maker is God.
Amen.
Adorned as a bride for her husband. Descending down upon the earth, the new heavens and the new earth. Do you think he's going to have an incomplete people that he's putting there? Friends, don't look at the outward. It's that which is on the inside.
Amen.
That work that he's doing in you. That refining of the gold. That separating of the fool's gold. That developing of that perfect faith. That doing something inside of your bosom. As we said, that Lucifer that time, when he considered Job, yeah? Lucifer looked at himself perfect in beauty, yeah? The sum of all wisdom until iniquity was found inside of himself. But he didn't realize that that vessel of clay, Job, that was there, that he was despising so much. Job had something inside of him that Lucifer could not attain to. Job had a Christ-like character. He had character. Lucifer didn't have character to inherit the throne. You have a character that's been developed for you to inherit the throne.
Amen.
Lucifer could only overshadow the throne. That's as close as he could get. Because power without character is satanic. But power with character is fit to rule.
Amen.
Our friends, he's doing a good work. He knows what he's doing.
Amen.
So let's conclude with this thought here. So, it's a challenge. If Christ has finished the work for us, then what work are we going to do for him? If he's finished the work for us, if he poured himself, his whole soul, into fulfilling the work for us, surely that should stir us up.
Amen.
Surely that should do something inside of ourselves that we feel inside of our bosoms that if he's done this perfect work for me, that if he's done what I cannot do, that I couldn't do, he's done the work of redemption, surely there's something that I can do for him.
Amen.
Surely, it's going to stir us up inside of the bosom. You can ask yourself, has he finished the work for you? For you. He's finished the work for you. He said it's finished. There's nothing that you can add to that. He's already purchased you. He's already paid the ransom price. He's already fully paid the price of your redemption. So do you think you can be lost? When he said it's finished, it's not possible, friends.
Amen.
It's not possible for that to happen to his elect. It's impossible.
That's right.
He says, your names are written in the palms of my hands. That's how personal, how precious it is. And that speaks of the nails in his hands as well. Speaks of what he was willing, more than willing to go through to pay that price.
Hallelujah.
So, if he's finished the work for us, then we must finish the work that He gave to us. And what are the resources that we're going to use? Everything in His finished work. Everything we need to do the work for Him. The work's already been accomplished to provide them for us. Everything which we need. But we don't do these things for salvation. We don't try to add to it. We don't try to add to what He's done. But we do these things because of salvation. Because of the revelation of redemption. Because we realize His grace, His goodness, how perfect His plan and His purpose and His work is on our behalf. It stirs us up inside of ourselves to say, but surely there must be something that I can do for Him.
Amen.
The prophet says a very interesting thing, and I think it's an adoption, when he says, do you know, Christ's work of redemption is so perfect that you could go and sit and fish for the rest of your life.
Amen.
And you're still perfectly redeemed.
Yes, sir.
But if you catch a revelation,
you wouldn't
want to do that.
Amen.
You wouldn't be able to go and sit there.
Amen.
You'll sit there for a day, then you'll be thinking, but Lord, once the revelation dawns inside of your soul again, how perfect His work is. What He endured for us. The greatness of His thoughts towards us, would, like David says in the Psalms, you'd sure come from that fishing bank and you'd say, but Lord, surely is there not something that I can do to show my love to You? Is there not some little something that I'll give to me so I can in some way express my appreciation back to You? But it's nothing to do with your salvation. You could perfectly go and sit and do nothing for the rest of your life. Because salvation is not by works. He said it's finished and it was finished. Your eternal destination was secure. The price was paid. The perfect price of the blood was shed. Jehovah looked down. He accepted. He said, this is good. Raised Him up on the third day as a token and evidence. Broke the Easter seal. Rolled away the stone. The power of the resurrection came and raised Him from the dead. And Jehovah said, amen. It's finished. And so the believer rests. The prophet says to the believer, it's all over at Calvary. And why are people so tossed about? He says when he was flying in the airplane and he saw that ship tossed in the sea and the waves were breaking over it, and some the ship went under and some it went over. And the other man sitting next to him, he said, look, do you see the ship? And Brahma says, but why is it not going down? He says, it can't go down. It's got a sea anchor.
Amen.
It's anchored. It's not the ship that's doing the holding. It's the anchor that's
Amen.
Doing the holding. And friends, you and I would have gone down many times.
Amen.
But it's finished.
Amen.
It's finished.
Amen.
He paid the price. He ministered everything that we need.
Amen.
From time to eternity, everything we need in this life's journey.
Amen.
Everything we need to fulfill and accomplish His will, His purpose. Everything we need to overcome the devil and every trick, every tactic that He's going to use. Jesus already covered it for you and I.
Amen.
When He said it's finished. That's how all-encompassing it is when He said it's finished. It's one little word. But inside of that one little word uttered by one great man.
Amen.
The God-man Himself. When He said it's finished. Everything we need, everything we'll ever need, even our eternal destination was in that one word.
Thank you, Lord.
And when we get there to the new heavens and the new earth, it's going to be a continual unveiling. The hidden manna, the prophet says, what is this hidden manna? A continual unveiling of what it is that He's done for us. How great He is, how great His thoughts are towards us. It'll be an eternal partaking of the hidden manna. Showing that God can hide Himself in one word. And that one word can manifest itself in time and eternity. And everything that we need is in that one word. It's finished. It's finished. Our friends, let's rest tonight.
Amen.
It's finished. Let's worship Him because it's finished. But let's not leave it there. Let it strike your soul until you can't stay still before you do something to show your love for Him. Because if He's done that for us, so we look at Him and say, look, He pressed on. He went through despair. He went through opposition. He went through persecution. He went through being called Beelzebub. Said his father was a Samaritan and he has a devil. He was called a deceiver, a false prophet. The Jews believe he's a magician. He deceives the people. Imagine all the things that he went through. And then he got onto the physical things he had to go through. Going to the cross. And then he got onto the spiritual sufferings that he went through. So in light of all the things that he's done for us, because of his desire to be able to say at the end of it all, it's finished.
Amen.
Father, it's finished. How much more? That's something that's inside of you, which he placed there from before the foundation of the world. There's a something inside of you that desires the same thing.
Amen.
There's a something inside of you that if you listen to that thing and feed that thing and bring that thing into the Shekinah presence of the Most High, it doesn't matter what people say about you. It doesn't matter that all your friends forsake you. It doesn't matter that all your community turns against you. It doesn't matter if all your family disown you.
Amen.
There's a something inside of you that's ordained at the end of this journey to say it's finished.
Amen.
There's something inside of you that's ordained to express His will, His purpose, and His desire in your life.
Hallelujah.
No matter how simple it may be, no matter how humble that it may be, and He's the one who put that there.
Amen.
And everything we need, the quickening power, yeah? Mm-hmm. Everything that you need, every provision, when we need divine healing, when we need deliverance, when we need whatever that it is in the journey, He's already
Hallelujah.
Made the way.
Amen.
He's already said, it's finished. I've made a provision. I've stored it up for you. So just as much as He desired to do the work, so should we desire to say,
Amen.
Master, I finished the work that You gave me to do.
Amen.
On that resurrection morning, yeah, when the dead in Christ shall rise, we shall rise.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah, we shall rise. And we don't want to rise there empty-handed. We're going to be clothed in the robes of His righteousness. We're going to be clothed in the power of His resurrection. That He purchased for us. But we want to bring something that we can lay down at His feet. We want to bring something that we can present to Him on that day. So friends, let's not be discouraged. Let's be determined. As we come to communion, to say, Lord, I don't want to do a half work. I don't want to leave the work half done. I don't want to, in the day of battle, turn my back in the day of battle like the sons of Issachar did in the Bible. I don't want to put my hand to the plow and then not plow a straight furrow because I'm turning around and looking at other things. I want to learn from the obedience which has been put inside of me through the things that I've gone through, the things that I've suffered, that there's something which is channeling me in a certain way. Something that's bringing me closer and closer to something, a deep that's inside of me, which wants to be expressed in a certain way. And there's a carrot and there's certain things that are being developed inside of me, which are ushering me to a certain place that I too can look back and say, it's finished. Father, it's finished. With all its imperfections, with all the lessons that I learned, with all the false starts that I made, with all of the wrong turns that I made in the journey, with all the times that I got tired and wanted to give it up, with all the times when I thought that how can people say this and how can people say that? And then you just look at Him once again.
Amen.
And you look at what He did for you.
Right.
And then you look at Him saying it's finished. And you say, but hey, my little affliction is but for a moment, Paul said. But it's working in me an eternal weight of glory. It's working inside of me something which is so precious, which will bring such a reward at the end of the journey. That's why, saints, we should really gird up our loins.
Amen.
We are saying to the saints, when you get out there in a couple of weeks' time with the officers and so forth, to really meet together and pray about this year coming up ahead. Saints, there's many things which we can't yet say. It's finished. We have evangelism. We can't look at our evangelism and say, it's finished. It's a half work. It's not complete. We need grace. We need His leadership. We need His wisdom. We need His inspiration. We need Him to tell us, separate me, Barnabas and Paul, to the work that I've called for them. We need His grace in that. So as we get into the new year, that we can have something to say, Lord, maybe you won't finish the work, but you want to get a lot closer to the finish than we are at the moment. We look at our music. We had a music meeting last night. There's a place we want to get to.
Amen.
When you look at ministry, I'm sure Brother Max is the same as me. You know, the Lord's led us somewhere, but there's a certain place. There's a certain something that the deep is calling and drawing us to. It's something that you ordained to, that we can get to a place that when He comes at the end, we won't stand ashamed.
Amen.
We won't stand and look back at just a lot of half-finished works. The Sunday school teachers, there's something inside of you that wants to express itself. The officers in the church, there's something you want to express. Each brother, each sister, there's something inside of you which you didn't put inside of there. But the one who said it's finished is the same one who started that work inside of you. And the more we commune in fellowship with Him, and the more we stay in the presence of the Son, and the more this mystery of redemption is ministered to us, of how great that He is, and how perfect that His work is, the more that it quickens us inside of our souls to gird up our loins once again, to get back into the battlefield, no matter the sweat and the toil, no matter the struggle and the strain that we have to go through. But we want to come to the end of the journey, to come to His feet and say, Master, it's finished.
Amen.
It's finished. And we want Him to look down through the perfect finished work of Christ at the work that we've done. And He'll say, it's good.
Amen.
It's good. Enter you into rest. And then we'll rest, saints. And all through our rest, we'll be partaking of that revelation of who it is that ministered us into that rest.
Amen.
Who it is that did that work in us that we're receiving a reward for. Salvation is of the Lord. It's not the works of man. It's not by the will of man. It's not by power. It's not by might. It's by my Spirit, saith the Lord. And that's all that we need. So, saints, as we come now to remember His body that was broken for us, as we come to remember His blood that was shed, that was His last breath. That's the last thing. They already took His garments. They'd already taken His reputation. They already took His liberty. They took His freedom. They took everything away from Him. He was a lamb. They took all the wool away from Him. Perfect lamb. The only thing He had left was His life. And in order to finish the course, He was willing to pour out the last drop of blood. He was willing to breathe His last breath to accomplish the purpose, the task which had been committed into His hands. So that just before His last breath, He could say, it's finished. Father, into your hands I commend my spirit. And then it was finished. Oh, friends, the plan of salvation is so wonderful. Man's religion is, what can we do? True religion, the only true religion, Christianity, is, what has He already done?
Amen.
That's the difference between man's religion and God's religion. God's religion is, what has He already done for us? That's what makes us love Him. There's nothing we can do to add. But friends, we have a commission, we have a call, we have a purpose. We have a heavenly calling, we have a high calling. We have a destiny that's set before us. And that's why He's working this work inside of us. So let's gird up our loins today as we take communion. Because for us to finish the course, we need communion with Him. We need communion with one another. We need the broken bread speaking of His word. We need the stimulation of revelation, the wine. We're going to need these things each step of the way because of what we need to go through. Because for us to take that one little word and to be able to fully express that in our lives, it's finished, we're going to have to go through so many of the same things that He did. But He that is in you is greater than he that's in the world. He that's in you is greater. He's already paid the price. Let's stand, saints, as we come to communion. Let's sing one song. Let's all sing that song that Sister Lillian sings. Would you mind coming forward, sister, to sing that song for us before we come to the communion table? This is my body, broken for you. On the night He was betrayed, He took the bread. On the night He was betrayed, He took the cup. This is my body, broken for you. Let's sing that song as the sister sings it as well.
On the night He was betrayed. Is it okay?
good.
On the night he was betrayed, he took the bread. When he given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body broken for you, and as you eat it, remember me. This is my body broken for you, and as you eat it, remember me." On the night he was betrayed, he took the cup. Upon giving thanks, he supped it and said, "This is my blood poured out for you, and as you drink it, remember me. This is my blood poured out for you, and as you drink it, remember me." Jesus took a towel girl, dead himself. He poured water and began to wash their feet. "This is my body broken for you, and as you eat it, remember me. This is my blood poured out for you, and as you drink it, remember me." If the Lord and Master washes your feet, he also should do as I've done to you. If I wash thee, thou hast part with me. Ye also ought to wash one another's feet. This is my body broken for you, and as you eat it, remember me. This is my body broken for you, and as you as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do shew the Lord's death till he come. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do shew the Lord's death till he comes. This is my blood poured out for you, and as you drink it, remember me. This is my blood poured out for you,
Let's read Luke chapter 22, saints. We get our communion scripture. Let's read from verse 14, Luke 22 from 14. And when the hour was come, he sat down and the 12 apostles with him. And he said unto them with desire, I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. There's power in communion, saints.
Amen.
Communion prepares you for battle.
Amen.
Communion prepares you to meet the next great challenge in your life.
Amen.
And he didn't want to just eat it himself. He wanted to be with his disciples. He knew he alone could walk this path. He alone could drink this cup. But saints, there's something about it to have communion with people that are together with you. The family of God gathering around the table. It does something. It gives you the strength that you need to overcome for yourself.
Amen.
For I say unto you, I will not any more eat thereof until it be fulfilled in the kingdom of God. That's in the millennium. And he took the cup and gave thanks and said, take this and divide it among yourselves. For I say unto you, I'll not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God shall come. So what was he saying? He was saying, we're foreshadowing here something that's far more real.
Amen.
And that's what you're doing today, friends. We're gathering around the Lord's table. We're just foreshadowing things that are to be.
Amen.
That's what we're doing.
Amen.
For I say unto you, verse 19, and he took bread. And gave thanks and brake it and gave it unto them, saying, this is my body which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. Likewise also the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you.
Amen.
Let's pray. Father, we bring and thank you for this cup, Lord. Father, we know what this represents. How we just desire a deeper
Amen.
Revelation, Lord.
Amen.
Father, how we thank you for this bread that will break, which represents your broken body. Oh, Jesus, we know there's healing in communion, Lord.
Amen.
Spiritual healing, physical healing, Lord.
Amen.
Because this represents to us, it is finished.
Yes.
So, Jesus, as we
Amen.
Partake upon this day, bless us, we pray.
Please.
Quicken us, Lord, inside of our
yes.
souls.
Amen.
As you wash one another's feet, Lord, give us a deeper understanding, revelation of the family of God,
Amen.
Of who it is whose feet that we're washing, Lord. May you bless your people upon this day. Help us, Lord, as we wait upon you, in Jesus' name. Let's just spend a few minutes in searching ourselves. Let's just pray. If you want to pray silently, pray any way that you want. Let's just come before the Lord before we come to his table, just to make sure that everything is under the blood. Oh, Father, just looking unto thee, Lord. I want to...
Throne of my God, our Whispers, you've said no use to pray. I look away to Jesus, and He tells me to. From Calvary.
Read John chapter 13, saints, we come to foot washing. Let's read from verse 12. So after he had washed their feet and had taken his garments and was set down again, he said unto them, Know ye what I've done to you? You call me Master and Lord, and you say, Well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, also ought to wash one another's feet. But I've given you an example that you should do as I've done to you. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord.
Amen.
Neither he that is sent greater than he that sent him. If you know these things, happy are ye if you do them. Amen. Let's come to foot washing. Sisters this side, brothers that side, and God bless you.
that row. I will lie in that row. I will lie in that shadow. I am under that rock that's higher than high. Jehovah, hide me. I am under that rock. Oh, tell my enemies, I am under that rock. Jehovah, hide me. I am under that rock that's higher than high. Jehovah, hide me. Go tell my enemies, I am under that rock. Jehovah, hide me, I am under that rock. In that rock, I will hide. In that shadow, I will abide. When the storms of life come sweeping over me, in that rock I will hide. My tent is no more pitched down there in Egypt's land. You'll see me no more pain, for I live in another land. My tent is no more pitched down there in Egypt's land. You'll see me no more pain, for I live. Whoa.
Rising from our hearts.
ask Brother Scott to come and close for us in a word of prayer, please, brother. If anybody has a request before the Lord, why not raise your hand to the Lord as the brother comes to close in prayer.
Father, once again, we do approach you, Lord. Father, and we want to say thank you, Lord. Thank you from the bottom of our heart, Lord. Thank you for your plan of redemption. Thank you, Lord, for a finished work, Lord. Father, just to know, Lord, to realize, Father God, that it's finished, O Lord. Father, not of any goodness that's in us, but Lord, you have done the work, you've completed it. And Father, you loved us when we were unlovable.
Yes.
Father, O Lord, and you made a way for us, O God.
Amen.
How we so much love and appreciate you, Lord.
Yes.
We thank you, O Lord, for giving us victory tonight. We thank you that the name of Jesus was glorified tonight, Lord.
Amen.
Father, the name which is above all names, Lord.
Yes.
Father, because, Lord, all we need, all we'll ever need is in that name, O God.
Amen.
Father, how we thank you for healing in that name, Lord.
Amen.
How we thank you for salvation, Lord.
Amen.
Father, we thank you for all the promises which you gave to us, O God, in that mighty name. O Lord, and we so much want to receive, Lord, and bathe in the glory, Lord, of your loving kindness, O God, upon this night. O Lord, may your name forever be exalted and glorified. Wherever your name is spoken, Lord. Father God, let it always be exalted, O God. Father, we thank you upon this night, even for a prophet, O Lord.
Hallelujah.
Father God, though we know, Lord God, not been perfect as you were, Lord Jesus.
Yes.
But yet, Lord God, he paid that price. He walked the hard way, Lord.
Amen.
Father, Lord, in obedience to your word, O God.
Yes.
And we so much appreciate the prophet, Lord. We thank you for all the gifts you've given to us, O God.
Yes.
Heavenly Father, we want to, Lord, put ourselves before you, Lord.
Yes.
Father, with the desire, Lord, that Father, even with each passing message that's brought before us, Lord, Satan forever always been exposed more and more.
Yes.
Father God, how we know, Lord, that when we realize who we are, O God, Father, Satan can no longer take advantage of us, Lord. Father God, he can no longer keep us pressed down, O Lord. O Father, may your word be exalted and glorified.
Yes.
Father God, Lord, may your word, may you continue to bring your revealed word to us, Lord. Father God, that we'll be, Lord God, into that image that you foreseen, Lord.
Yes.
A bride that's perfect, Lord, without wrinkle,
Amen.
Without spot, O God.
Yes, Lord.
Oh, Lord, we so much appreciate all that you've done.
Amen.
Lord God, we glorify your name even on this night.
Amen.
Father God, though maybe being few in number,
yes.
But, oh God, just your presence makes all the difference,
yes.
Lord.
Amen.
Father, how we desire, Lord, to just stay here, Lord, and continue to glorify and praise you, O God.
Yes.
Amen. Heavenly Father, and we're looking forward to a day, Lord.
Amen.
Father, where there'll be no night, but it'll be forever day, O God.
Amen.
Father, where we won't have to part, Lord Jehovah.
Amen.
Father, where we could just, we'll spend eternity, Lord, in your awesome presence, O God.
Hallelujah.
Father, we're thankful for that, Lord.
Amen.
Father, Lord God, as we've come to the end of this service, Lord.
Yes.
Father, we pray, O God, that we know it's not an end, Lord, but it's until... And we pray, Lord, that the same way you are with us, Lord.
Amen.
Father, even though Satan tried, Lord God, to get at your children in this way and that.
Amen.
But, Lord, we're committing ourselves to you.
Amen.
Be with us as we go home.
Amen.
Father God, be with us, Lord, in our
Amen.
Fellowship, in our homes,
yes.
Lord.
Hallelujah.
Father, may you always be that welcome guest, Lord.
Amen.
Father, we see the signs all around us, Lord.
Yes,
we know
Lord.
That the end is
yes,
drawing near. So we ask of thee, Lord, that even in our homes, may there be a hastening, Lord.
Yes.
Father,
yes,
to line up with the word, Lord. To show our appreciation for what you've done.
Amen.
To show that we truly are people that are in expectation, O
yes.
God.
Amen.
Father, be with us, Lord. May your angel accompany us. Lord, you know the desires, the needs of your children.
Yes.
Father, we trust that they'll be met upon this day.
Amen.
Father God, Lord, we just put all our trust and our faith in thee. Lord, bless each brother, each sister,
Hallelujah.
Every child, Lord,
Amen.
That made the effort to be upon this night. Lord, we know we can't come into your presence and go out the same.
Yes.
So, Lord God, we trust in we're going out better, Lord.
Yes.
Father, and not worse. That, Lord God, will glorify your name and that will be an anticipation, Lord, to draw once again from you on Sunday.
Yes.
Be with us, Lord. Be with our pastor, Lord. Over the years, Lord, he stood so faithfully, Lord God.
Yes.
Father, Amen. How difficult it must be for him, Lord, to continually, Lord, to avail himself, Lord. Father, all the sacrifices he'd have to make, even his family, oh God, bless them, Lord. Amen. Father, restore virtue, Lord. Amen. Father God, even as we're expecting more on Sunday, Lord, Amen. You restore, give strength, Lord God. Reveal your word, Lord, that we may Amen. Receive more. Father, we pray, Lord, for every brother, every sister, once again, Lord, Amen. As we pray and we commit with thanksgiving all that was done this evening. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen and amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Let's sing one as we dismiss, Brother George, if you've got one for us, please. Right?
Surely around it, his throne comes down. Surely around it, the door to heaven. We know.